360 podcast. Tyler Andrews and the Bottom Raiders Christmas songs. What's going on, Tyler? That is insane.
You're pretty rad, man.
That was it was painful to listen to, but I see where you guys are going with it.
We're striving for bleeding ears.
Bleeding ears. Well, I understood what you're going for. You obviously want musky baits for Christmas, from what I could get from the lyrics of your wonderful, charming, soon-to-be classic Christmas song there.
I mean, that's one interpretation of the song. I appreciate where you're coming from, but I was really singing about world peace.
Oh, I thought the line about punching someone in the nose if you didn't get a shield rod was I figured that wasn't about...
It's up to interpretation.
Gotcha. Well, you're a genuine artiste. Just an artiste. Tyler, update.
Update.
Update. Muskie Country is almost done. I hope
it's pretty cool.
I hope by next week I can tell you in the Christmas spirit that the Muskie Country.
The video game.
Video game. Listen, if you can't get enough of us, why not play with me? Play with me.
Yay! It's great. We're getting close. I've been playing demos all week.
A lot of Muskie Country gaming going on, me and the guru. Even the Book Dadarino, the Joe Booker himself, in Vidya game form. Vidya.
Game.
You know. He's more of an Atari 2600 kind of guy, but we got him in there. You know, we worked it in there. We got all the Bookerisms that me and Tyler have come to love on the boat. You know, you hear them the whole time. So it's like getting a guide trip from the Book Daddy in the palm of your hand. Literally, you're holding a miniature Joe Booker in the palm of your hand.
Can we start charging for virtual guide trips?
Pretty much that's what every podcast is. But you've got this tiny, tiny chicken, baby chicken size version of Joe Booker in the palm of your hand.
I like that.
You know, baby book, if you will. If you will. See, you've got the whole Muskie 360 crew in the palm of your hand.
So tiny. It's
we tiny now. It'll be fun. To say that there hasn't been work put into that one, I'll tell you, it never stomps around here. Big shout out to Paul from Fish Tech, working on that thing like a fiend. Never done before, the Muskie 360 game. So, guys, we'll let you know. It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be the version here on the app, and there'll be a full version on the App Store. And then once that's out, I'll warn all you podcasters. Just let us know what you guys think we ought to add. Big thing though, if you have submitted a picture to the Muskie 360 app, are you ready for this, Tyler? Are you ready? Drum roll, Tyler. Mm-hmm. Drum roll. I need a drum roll, Tyler.
I'm not musically talented. Sorry.
Sounded like me after my 21st birthday, is what that sounded like. Not a drum roll, but close enough. I'll roll with it. If you have sent a picture in to the Muskie 360 Use Your Photos, if your picture's on the app, guess what? You're in the game. Boom. Headshot. 360 no scope. You're in
the game.
Vidya. You are a Vidya game star, folks. So when you catch a fish, guess what pops up? Your Vidya.
You're to be in the game.
It's in the game.
I am one with the Matrix.
You are digitized. So bring me Solo and the Wookiee. You're frozen in digital carbonite here for all eternity in the Muskie Country video game.
Yeah.
Listen, just play with the miniature version of me. That's all I need you to do. I'm not asking for much. Just hold me. The miniature version of me in the palm of your hand.
You know what's cool? What? I have a mustache in the video game.
You always have a mustache, Tyler.
I may not have one now. A goatee. But the mustache is forever immortalized in a nice crystal figurine on my fireplace and in the video game.
In the video game, folks. Muskie Country, it's a coming. We're working nonstop. If you guys know how busy... We're a day late on the podcast. That's how busy I am. But the video game, guys, it is our gift to you. I'm dead serious. This is just for funsies. You're going to be able to play it on the app. You're going to have your picture in a video game. Tell your look at your ex-girlfriend and say, you said I'd never be in a video game. You're wrong. Look at me now. You can use your you can use this on your resume if you need a new job. I'm in a video game. So what do you think of that, boss man, down here at the Culvers?
I'm cooler than you.
Cooler than you. I'm in the video game. If you have not submitted a picture of yourself to the app yet, like with the video, with the pictures, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now's the time. You can still sneak in on the Muskie Country. So if you want to be in the Muskie Country game, make sure you send a picture of yourself with the fish. What we're doing, just so you understand, is we're going to estimate size class of those. Like, so when you catch a fish, it'll say you caught a 35. Well, you might have caught a 36 in your photo, but we're using like general parameters. So like when you are successful, it looks like you caught the fish and it pops up. You'll see other people's pictures. You'll see your own picture. It's going to be cool. So if you don't have a picture submitted to the app, I don't care if you cut a 12-incher, send it in. But speaking of that big job application at the Culver's Tower.
Yes, sir. Someone turned me down.
Well, they've turned me down four times. They won't take me. They're building one over here by the house. And they just said, I'm not skilled enough to work the fryer. I'm just saying. I've been begging. Went in there four times. Said, listen, Steve, you're not Culver's material. I'm just throwing it out there.
You job shadowed for a day and you ate out all the outgoing burgers. You know,
whatever it takes. If anybody knows how to get me on over at that Culver's, they're opening up. Boys, let me know. I've heard the fish sandwich was good.
We'll work for food.
I did have a client this week and we had a heck of a time on the boat. Favorite thing I've ever heard about Culver's, right?
Mm-hmm.
The favorite thing ever. He calls it the Wisconsin Embassy, which is the funniest thing I've ever seen. That is like, well, that is like pretty much sums it up. The Wisconsin Embassy of Culver's. I got it for you guys. This is no joke. Remember a few weeks back, and we all get on here and we enjoy our Pepsis together and whatever you may be doing when you listen to this heinous podcast that we churn out every week. I put out a challenge to this guy that was talking about rods and reels and freezing up to take his shield rod into Culver's. The crazy son of a bitch did it.
Oh, the picture's crazy. He's standing with the Culver's employee. Like,
he's the thumbnail on this week's podcast. He is not only is he in a Culver's with a muskie rod. Weird. Two, he's got on, this is just even better, he's wearing my hoodie that they sell at the muskie shop. And he's got an Abu Garcia round reel on there like he's a grandpa like myself. And he harassed an employee enough to take a picture. I got to give you a round of applause, Tyler. A round of applause. Guys, that
is... You're a G, man.
So,
a G.
Robert, you're my hero. That is ridiculous. You are... Tyler just said it. You're an OG Muskie 360 listener since the early days. Since we started this thing, you've been there. For those about to muskie fish, we salute you. I have a big old box of Junior's End lines ready for you and some other treasures. Folks, that's the kind of fervent weirdness I love. So I don't care.
We like it weird.
I don't care what anyone thinks, Tyler. I could give two shits. You know, it's just like we have such a good time here. Keep it weird, folks. I trust me, the guys that listen that have fished with me and we fish together. Yeah, I'm out there, you know, sort of living this weird headspace.
Stay freaky, my friends.
Stay freaky. You know, big props to you. Can you imagine how he's getting out of his truck and the wife's sort of sitting there going, why did I marry this guy? Really?
Why we stopped here? I thought we were getting a fish sandwich. Friday.
Oh, Robert, I just wanted to order a curds. What are you getting your rod there for, Robert A?
Why are you bringing your rod into Culver's?
Oh, it's so embarrassing.
What are you doing?
What if Melinda from church group sees us? Oh, that'll be the end of us. Robert has the stones to take a musky rod into a Culver's. You're my hero. That was amazing. We appreciate.
Honestly, when we announced that challenge, I'm like, there's no way that's going to do that.
And people, we got people naming dogs. We got people going into Culver's. I love it, guys. We just have a time here. I can't thank you guys enough. Yeah, we're the number one musky podcast. What are you going to do? It's fun. We got nobody to thank but you guys. We almost, Tyler, I look back at all the previous episodes.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about musky fishing in almost most of them.
You sure?
I don't know. It doesn't feel like it. It feels like the hour long Steve Paul rants, you know, but that is, I can't tell you, Robert, you're my hero. This summer when I'm driving through Wisconsin, we're going to get together. I would love to drag you on the water for a day. You deserve it. That was the most ridiculous stuff I've ever seen. So we will try to do like a day when I'm driving. If Canada's open, that's the question. You know, they're probably going to be like, Tyler, I have a feeling we're going to have to prove you're COVID free at the border or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So more on that later. I've been, by the way, and I'm just ranting right now. I have been watching what's going on with the Canadian border. You know, Tyler, we broke that story. We were actually the first people in the Muskie game and in news that knew that because we know a couple people up there. So we sort of get a heads up on what's going on. Huh? Journalistic sources.
Conspiracy theories. We know things.
Listen, meat pain is not the only one wearing a tinfoil hat, boys. I'm telling you that right now. That's how I keep my head warm in the winter. But anyway, we're keeping an eye on it. I will let you guys know the second that we hear something from international sources. Dun, 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 dun. We need theme music for that. International sources.
Musky news.
Musky nudes. You said news. My apologies. My bad. Please do not send nudes. No. Don't want to see your undressed muskie. Keep the slime on those things. Anyway, we're keeping an eye on this thing. And I tell you guys, this is because everybody, I'm hearing like people talking about like, oh, I got my dates booked for Lake of the Woods. Do you? Do you?
No, you don't.
Wishful thinking
nothing right now.
So we're going to keep, like I said, guys, we're keeping an eye on this. We're keeping an ear to the ground with our tower. I need the news sound again. International sources. We're keeping an ear to the ground there and trying to figure out what's going on. Plan for the best. Right, or what do they say, Tyler? Hope for the best, prepare for the worst is what I think with Canada. Just for what it's worth.
Hope we go fishing, man.
Listen, I am planning for a Northwoods backup trip. That's sort of my thing. It's what we did this year. But just keeping an ear to the ground there. But anyway, circling back, Robert, you're my hero. When I come up there, either I'm going to Canada or we're going to Wisconsin. Me, you, and the guru are getting on that boat. What do you say, Tyler?
I'm in, man.
Secretly, behind closed doors, Tyler said he'd never fish with you. He finds you disgusting. He said, get away from me, plebe. But I'll make him fish with you. Let us know, Robert. Send me an address. Send me a message. I'm going to send you a big old batch of them juniors in lines and some other treasures. I have been just rambling and rambling and rambling. We need to talk about musky fishing. Here's the deal. Got a bunch of messages this week, so we're going to do a quick summarization of what's going on.
Summarize.
Tyler, that's just like that guy one time. We got a bad message from a guy, and he's like, that whole podcast, one guy says something stupid, another guy just says it stupider.
Stupider.
Stupider. You know what? I hope you're, whatever that guy's name was, whatever. I hope you're down at the IGA mopping floors. Anyway. Them boys don't know how to do a podcast, said the guy mopping the floors at the IGA. There's a Pepsi on the chucker down there. I'm getting there, boys. I'm soused on Pepsi.
Gone.
Tyler, as an aside, I'm just being me here, ADD theater.
We're both ADD.
Young man was on the boat with me. He's from Wisconsin originally. Asked how I drank that much Pepsi Cola. For you new guys, and we got a ton new listeners. Long standing joke here, right? I drink Diet Coke on the boat. This is a PG-13 podcast to some extent, I guess. I'm not a big Pepsi fan, but we have Pepsi and we have Pepsi Clear and Pepsi Brown. Okay, just figure it out from there. Anywho, Tyler, we need to think about tactics and we need to talk about what's going on. So there's going on in the South, and as far as what's going on here. I've said going on like four times. Say going on, Tyler, so I don't feel so bad.
Going on.
What's going on, man?
Tell me what's going on. We're just repeating each other. We're so boring. We're so dumb.
I'm retarded. I am so dumb. Yes. Any day, buddy. The wife asked if I'm okay because I yelled I'm retarded. What? I'm okay. Why I'm okay? Hold on. This is funny. This is comedy. Go, come here. Did you ask if I was okay? Why did you ask if I was okay? Because I'm screaming I'm retarded. Folks, welcome to my life. I musky fish all day long and I come home. I'm a burden on my wife, and I'm moderately annoying. What are you going to do, Tyler? It's just, you know, I suckered her into it.
All I say is you just reference the half-drank Coke cans around the house.
Just around the house.
And in the boat, and in the car.
You've been here. It is like caffeine, 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 and then shut the system down with Pepsi immediately following, right? You just up and down, up and down. Anyway, back to me being retarded. The thing that matters here is we need to look at North and South here, like we're always talking about. For you Southern guys that are struggling, and I've been getting emails, these fish have moved deep. I don't mean 30 feet. That first break stuff. Tyler, how many times have we been saying first break? 12, 14 feet. 12, 14 feet. Be looking there. You know, they're gonna make some move shallow, but if we're talking a normal, cruddy Southern day and it's getting cold and our water temps are, you know, some places are low 40s, some places are high 40s, these fish are slowing down. You need to go deep and you need to slow your presentations down. But Tyler, what me and you were talking about earlier today is really the fact that, you know, the only opportunities that you have up north right now are on moving water and on rivers.
Rivers. I mean, right now in Green Bay and southern Wisconsin, lakes are open. It's going to be 40 on Saturday. Go out, go fish and go trolling.
Mm-hmm.
You can catch them. But if you're say in northern Wisconsin in the lakes, you can't fish them because there's ice.
Right.
And you can't fish through the ice up there. Look for the small rivers up there. I know there's a lot of guys that I've been seeing on social media posting fish out of rivers.
Yep.
They're going in on small canoes, kayaks. They're kayaking to a bank in a remote river.
Swimming.
And the
there.
River's like swimming, hardcore, dry suit.
Dry suit.
Going on the float, boys.
Going out there.
Hot cheese curds ready for me down at the launch.
Yeah. Get down there. They're swimming out there to spots. Not recommended. I take no legal liability if you swim to a spot.
You know, like some of the Wisconsin River near Eagle River. Might be open.
Yeah,
go fish it.
Might be there. We're getting a lot of guys. Like I said, they want to target a big fish. They want to get a late season fish. You know, and Tyler, is it this year? Is it the, was it last year as well, where it's, it ends in December, or is that, is this?
I think it's brand new this year.
Okay. I don't live and die by the Wisconsin regs, hence all the questions, but, you know, you've got a lot of new opportunities, and you need to, once those lakes are done, get on moving water. Those fish are more aggressive. They're making moves. You know, if you can find pockets, holes, and eddies, it's magnum size trout fishing at this point.
Go down with a canoe, mm-hmm, or raft or whatever you got. Right. Float down there and start casting for muskies, man.
Yeah. Get you a piece of plywood down at the Menards. Float down on that thing. You're fine. Whatever. Pool floaty. So, a couple water wings in your shield rod.
Paddleboard.
You know, in all honesty, though, you can do some damage from the bank. I'll tell you, if you can find major pools, major pockets, and I've done that, you know, just really looking at things where you drive a river or walk a river and you can see it, where that current is breaking and there is slack water, that's where your muskies are, period. That's it. They're in the mm-hmm pockets, pools, and eddies. Be looking there. Be checking it out. Tyler, this is sort of the ADD Theater podcast, because we got Christmas coming up here.
What'd you say?
We got the Christmas coming up.
Sorry, I didn't pay attention.
I don't pay attention when you talk. Or Hanukkah. You might celebrate Hanukkah. Hanukkah. Whatever you're into. You know, whatever holiday you adhere to. But a lot of people sent messages this week. What should I buy for Christmas? Okay.
Christmas.
You know, I don't know. Buy them some. What I got pulled up here, I just pulled up El Muskie Shop Arena. Yeah, Muskie Shop Arena. They've got some stuff on sale.
I'm pulling it up too. Let's
best
see.
Deal I've seen, I'm going to tell you, for a fish catcher is the Muskie Flaribou from MEPS. $14.99. I'll buy them suckers all day long. All day long. That's a heck of a deal. Those are really good bucktails, and they start easy. Bagley's Monster Shad, you southern guys. Wink, wink, hint, hint. That's good bait. They got tons of apparel. So if you don't know what to get them, just go, how fat are they? How fat is my muskie fisherman at home? Is he a large? Is he an extra large or an extra, extra large? They got the clothes to cover you from small to big, big boy. Got a bunch of hoodies. We put a bunch of stuff on sale this week where it's shield rod stuff, blackfish gear. You got a lot of variety in clothing. You can't go wrong with clothes, but there's some really good baits in there. Where what it is, they've got a lot of baits that we've got new variations coming in that are, they're not going away, but you're getting like a really good discount on the previous year model. Again, MEPS Muskie Mashaboo. Come on. If you ain't fishing that, you're missing the boat. Sound Science Sonic Boom, that's a good bait. Sound Science Trimmer, you got Big Tooth Tackle. I'm looking at the sales stuff here, and there's a couple pages of this stuff that's heavily discounted for the holiday. Tyler?
Yeah.
Savage Gear Bat. Boys, that bait started COVID-19 right there. Somebody ate him a Savage Gear Bat. That's what that got that stuff going there. Actually, to be honest with you, it's a pretty dang good creeper. We've laughed about it. We've talked about it. You know, we've cried over it. Yeah, it's a pretty good creeper. That's there. They got them head bangers.
Ooh.
Bang your head against the wall with a head banger. They get them, my personal favorite, the Muskie Shop sleeveless t-shirt. It's very southern of them. Show off your tattoos or your guns. Got that. I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff on here. So if you're looking for those Christmas gifts, get them. I will say this. Get stuff going now because it is getting close. That is the Christmas update. Get on frickin' rivers if you're looking for fish. Tyler, we got a few questions we're going to handle here. It is a foreshortened week. I was late already. We're going to just go here. Tom says, first time caller. He said he's been having fun. He's been fishing about 4 years because my stepdad, shout out to Dave, thanks for being a great dad, got me into it. Well, good job, man. That's what this whole sport's about.
Good job, sir.
Getting people into the sport.
We need more people.
More people. Because Tyler eats people. Don't listen to him. It's a trick, okay? Don't get anywhere near him. Tyler Andrews is a cannibal. Anyway, he's fishing a lake in Indiana. And, you know, around turnover, usually before, sometimes after, he's here. Here's about guys banging rock bottoms and banging off stuff with crankbaits. And he said, I tried this, but I only got weed. So I think my lake has a soft bottom. I've never heard you guys talk about soft bottom lakes very often. What tips and ideas do you have for soft bottom lakes? P.S. We hammer weed edges in the breaks. Also haven't figured out how to find bait fish. We are learning. Okay. I'm not going to say what body of water you're on. My text messages are going crazy. Sorry, folks.
Popular man.
Whatever. Popular mechanics. Anyway, I know the body of water that you're at, there are some hard bottom transitional areas. The best way to find transition areas, in my opinion, are taking a crankbait like a depth rater, taking the hooks off and dragging around till you feel the difference. You can tell it's really sharp. It's really articulated ticks and clacks and bangs on hard bottom, or get really good at your electronics. But as far as fishing those soft bottom lakes where there's weed edges and all that stuff, big trick there, man, bottom bounce. And bottom bounce your plastics. You know, the same time of year, the reason guys are ticking and clicking hard bottom transitions because fish will hang off transition zones. But if there's generally no transition there, the fish are usually, located on those same in the same areas, in the same zones, depth zones, break line zones. But they're just hanging off the bottom. That's when, you know, old Cody Dalton, woo, 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 said, you know, talking about bouncing toads off the bottom. I stole that from him in a heartbeat. Thank you very much. That'll get you some leverage. You know, taking your crankbaits and still banging them off the bottom there. So those soft bottom lakes where it's muddy, you know, taking a depth rater, a triple D or a double D, whatever the depth may be. Heck, even a reef digger from Big Fork.
Dredging the bottom,
feeling the bottom and getting accustomed to touching structure and letting it come up. That's probably the biggest thing is, and Tyler Book Daddy has told us both this, it's not about making constant contact, it's about moderate contact.
So you know where you are.
Yeah.
You feel nothing, you go right or left, or you back up.
You don't want to have a crankbait making continual contact where it's just dredging up a mud cloud or banging off the rocks. It's this natural thing where the bait comes in, it makes contact with the bottom, floats up for a second, and makes contact again, right? And that's a feel thing. And you've got to cast an area a few billion times, and then you want to go, okay, if I cast this way and I retrieve at this speed, I'm going to make contact. So you got to spend some time scoping that stuff out. If you want to really quickly ascertain what's going on, like I said, spend an hour dragging around a bait with no hook so it really won't foul easily, and drag the bottom and you can feel it. Mud feels like a soft return in your hand, right? It's spongy. It's not a hard bang. Rocks are hard bangs. Boom, boom, boom. You know, mud is like this. I can't articulate it until you felt it yourself, but you'll know. Imagine what it feels like when a hard-lipped bait hits something hard versus a hard-lipped bait hits something soft. And that's how we really find those transition areas. The second you feel it switch from mud to rock, mark it. And if you don't have that, start fishing it with bottom bouncing rubber, running crankbaits into that soft bottom. The fish are still going to be there. It's just about you might lack those transitional zones. He does give
One thing I would like to add is you should also look at your map. Like there's free maps of lakes if they're mapped out on like whatever your state's DNR website. Mm-hmm. Look for if there's on those like soft bottom lakes, you can actually kind of tell where it might be more hard bottom. Like if there's like, I've noticed in some of the lakes I like fishing, if there's like a steeper drop off, to me, it's normally a rockier shoreline. Mm-hmm. Not always. Some of them are muck and it's weird, but look for big points or look for steep drops. Look for, like, if an open basin that comes up just a little bit, mm-hmm. it's like a foot higher than everything else. Might be something going on there. Look for like little differences, and you can pinpoint areas that might be different.
You said that, and you know, maybe on your body of water there are cribs. Okay, yeah. So that's cover, but you can still address it in the same fashion. I'm thinking too, submerged timber. I'm talking logging timber or sunken timber that's on the bottom. I can't tell you how many fish I've caught up of, like, here's, you know, 400 yards, there's nothing but mud, but there's a stack of timber that sunk there. And it's deep, but it's a late fall, early winter, cold water thing. I can't stress this enough, and this is just like maybe one of the harder things to do in muskie fishing is not fishing. Go out and scout. Spend time scouting. Spend time dragging stuff around with no intent of catching a muskie. Like one day on the water where you go, I don't care, right? Because all of us put so much emphasis on the catch. And the act of trying to catch the fish is, you know, just overarching. That's the main thing. So you don't spend a lot of time observing. We make these like anecdotal observations as we're fishing. It can get you way far. One day, and I'm talking all day long, of watching your depth finder, exploring, can pay huge dividends for years to come.
I love that point. That's one thing that I do a lot, especially last season or this season. Season's mm-hmm. almost over.
Right.
But, you know, some of the new lakes that I was discussing with you, mm-hmm. I'd be like, man, this lake's freaking awesome. You know, what I did is in the 90% of the day that I was out there, I was just driving around. Mm-hmm. I'd mark a rock. I'd mark there's actually a mountain of tires on one of these lakes.
Yeah.
Which is quite interesting.
Yeah, and you cut a bunch of thank you, hillbillies, for dumping your tires.
It was the middle of nowhere. There's no houses, and there's a bunch of tires.
Hey, Bubba, but, what you want to do with them tires? Take them out to the lake. Yeah.
I'm marking weed lines. I'm marking points. I'm finding stuff that's not on the map. And then the last hour and a half to 2 hours of the day, I am hitting all those spots systematically. Because mm-hmm. that's, you know, like that's... That's one of the primo times. You might get something to eat, and if you hit it mm-hmm. fast and effectively and you mark it out and you kind of know where shit is,
yeah,
you can go out and you might be able to score.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, okay.
And that's one thing just other guys won't do. I see it all the time. It's just like – maybe I'm overthinking this, but, you know, guys are like, I'm going muskie fishing tomorrow. They got the day off or whatever happens. And they're so wrapped up in it. And they're just rip-roaring ready to go. And they got all the just mojo just a-churning. And they hit the first two spots they've been thinking about. And after that, they're guessing.
Yeah.
So they're guessing 90% of the day, hoping to run into something because they don't have any other spots. One day can change your muskie career on a body of water. One day. By going out and going, I'm going all day long, and I'm going to look at things. I'm going to look for new things. I'm going to look for interesting things. And I'm going to dedicate one day, no fishing. I'm going to explore this body of water and learn as much as I can. I mean, how many days do you get skunked? So just forget about it. Go out there and burn the gas. Troll around. Look for interesting things. Make notes. Observe things. And go... Wow, now I have a blue billion spots. I have a lot of options here. So the next time I come back, I have things there. Anyway, moving on. Todd says, I have another question. Well, thank you, Todd. He says, night fishing, trolling. Okay. I've been told by my musky mentor, quote unquote, that a full moon has not been good for him while fishing. He said he has had better luck with full cloud coverage on a full moon, but the light from a full moon seems to have a negative impact on fish. And he does best on new moons at night. He tends to plan less trips around a full moon when it comes to night trolling or casting. What is your experience with full moons at night? Does the light have a negative impact in your opinion? Do you have primo conditioning or conditions for night fishing versus time when you say I shouldn't even, or times that I shouldn't even go? I personally have been disappointed while fishing at night during full moons, but I don't have that many trips under my belt. Okay. Just like anything else. You're going to run into good days, bad days, right? There's good. I mean, let's say you got a full moon, but it's a cold front. Going to be slower, you know. You end up with these magical situations. Personally, I'm not a big full moon night fisherman. I'm sort of with your musky mentor. I would prefer a new moon. To be honest with you, it seems like they do dumber stuff if you can get in front of one.
I mean, they can't see. With right. less light, they can't see, so they're only relying on their lateral line to sense the vibration of your lure.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing they can rely on. So they can't see you. They can't see your line. They can't see your bait. They only can feel it.
Right. And so, you know, it sort of forces their hand. I think in a full moon situation, they might be able to see a little bit better. It depends on which full moon it is. I mean, there's a litany of factors here. But my personal experience is not that different from the guy you call your musky mentor. But here's the thing. I don't plan around it as much as I just go. You know, it just is what it is. Now, one thing I can tell you, I told a client this week, this is a big old secret tip here. I line the boat up on a full moon. I cast into the moonlight. And it has made a difference. So I'm positioning where I'm making sure most of my spots, I'm sort of planning out where I'm going to be, and I want the light there because those bait fish will come into that light and they'll hang out in those areas where it's a little bit brighter. I seem to score better if I'm sort of lining up that I'm fishing places that have that, you know, like you're out in the water and there's like the moonlight reflection. I know it sounds crazy, but
yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. We've done it. Me and I have done it together and scored. So you can sort of play that. That might help. But, you know, I mean, the biggest thing I can tell you if you've had less action than you expect is timing, you know. Don't go out on a night trip and expect it to happen in the first 10 minutes either. You know, you got to plan things out. You got to fish efficiently. But slowing down is the biggest thing I can say. Slow down. I mean, it is. You can go so slow at night. It can be summer peak. And I'm talking top rater going blip, 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 blip. You know, just slow it down. That will probably put a fish in your net, is just really backing it off. And fishing thoroughly. Me and Tyler, we have done it. You see me do it, and we've put fish in the net. My glow stick trick. You know, marking my spots left to right, put a red glow stick on one end of the weed bed and a green on the other, and make sure I'm keeping my boat well positioned. Where should the fish be in patterning? The other thing is this, is make sure your patterning's right, though. You know, if you're not moving fish in an area during the day at all, don't expect them to magically show up at night. I'm out here. Yeah. I'm out here over 80 feet of water here in gin
I've
clear.
I've never caught a muskie in this spot ever, but it's my night fish.
Boy,
spot.
I'm all over this. That fish.
Just go fish the spots you catch muskie off during the day. Just go back there at night.
Exactly.
They're still good.
Don't throw your baits into the parking lot and expect him to be up there in spot number two. Make sure that we're on good spots. And I've seen guys do that. It's just like, I don't get it. You know, the nighttime, okay, let me put it this way. Night fishing, and I think this goes for Booker, because Joe's definitely was the, you know, night ranger there for years when he was guiding. Night fishing is not about exploration. We were literally in the last question, I'm telling this guy, go explore the lake and figure the thing out, right? Night fishing is for capitalization. Okay, so during the day, you'll catch me on the boat all day long complaining, just bitching and moaning about it's too bright. Things are too flat. There's nothing going on. The fish can't see, right? They're down deep. They're holding deep. They can't see the baits. And a lot of times that's true as they go, okay, something blew over their head and they go, I might not be able to catch that. I'm going to hold back, right? At night, there's no reason they can't hone in on it. The muskies have the tactical advantage and the speed advantage at night. And so we're capitalizing on that. They, and I'm not trying to give them anthropomorphic qualities, but I think muskies at night feel like they have that advantage and they're more willing to do things. You know, just like when it's cloudy outside, the darker it is, the better it is. And I'm sort of shocked that muskie fishing isn't just a all-night sport. I'm surprised, you know what I'm saying? Like, it almost is like backwards where you go, some of the best walleye fishing can be at night in low light. Muskie's about the same way. You just got to know where they're at already. A lot of times for me is a night trip, a daytime trip can turn into a night trip on days where I'm moving a bunch of fish, but nothing is happening. Right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Me and you have done it, Tyler. We go out, we get six follows. We know we're figurating right. We know our mechanics are good. We know our presentations are good. We have, you might be throwing a smaller bait than I am and vice versa and all this stuff. We've covered the bases. And we go, they're not doing anything. They're moving, but they're not doing anything. Let's go get a cheeseburger. Trade with a boat. Go hang out. Roll, you know, set, lay down in the parking lot and roll around in pine needles for entertainment. You know, count squirrels, whatever it might be. Whatever you do on your, not often on the water. Me and Tyler usually just drool, you know. But I'm not going to sit there and waste my energy and my mojo on the off chance he's about to hit. I'm going to go, you know what? I've got the wherewithal and I've got the confidence to say, let's hold off. Let's go do something else and then come back and really come at this thing full tilt with a night plan of attack. I don't know. That's what we do. So,
Steve and I have done that in the one of the worst conditions possible.
Yeah. And scored.
Scored. That was a brutal night.
We've talked about, me and Tyler have many a brutal nights out there. One thing I can tell you, if you haven't noticed, me and Tyler have the, like, it always ends up, we're out there, we're just banging around, right? We're just doing things. I look at Tyler and be like, there's a front coming in at 10 at night or something, you know? And I always talk you into it. I'm always able to, like, you're like, but it looks bad. Oh, it'll be all right. And we get out there and it's like freaking 4-footers. Ah! You know?
It is.
Tie yourself to the back seat because but we score fish. Again, night fishing is not going to fix bad patterning. That's all I'll say. And I'm sure you got good patterning, but think about it in that way for you guys that are thinking night fishing. Think ahead. Go over, you know, if it's not a good spot during the day, he ain't just going to show up magically. Oh, Tyler, it's nearly the holidays here. Let's get through a couple more here. And we got some crazy after the first of the year stuff coming up in your game and all this stuff. Let's get through it. Andrew says, I heard you guys address that you cannot ice fish muskies on the ice anywhere in the States after December 31st. But up here in Canada, in Zone 8 in Quebec, our muskie season is open until the end of March. Goodness.
Whoa.
Get me to Quebec, baby. I actively target them as a guide here and catch them solely on dead baits. Uh-oh. I tried a bunch of jigging last winter and would have a giant come in on camera and never commit. What would you recommend trying as baits to catch more jigging through the ice? Whoa.
My mind
is blown. Andrew, number one, if you're guiding up there, send me a message. I want to talk to you on the podcast because my head's exploding. We're talking March 1st jigging through the ice in Quebec.
That's something different. I like it.
I love it. Yeah, it's that. Never knew that. We learn something every day, folks. Okay, so we're talking really cold. I mean, that's a thing. He just said dead freaking bait. That's not a musky thing to me. I've told clients before, muskies don't hit dead baits.
They're Canadian.
These Canadian muskies are on some different program here. Okay, so, we're not going to be experts on this, Andrew, but he said he's tried jigging tubes, so I'm assuming red October tubes, like that, and bondies.
Here's what I would do. Muskies. Oh, you go ahead.
I got a trick. It's not the best trick, but it's a trick. And I'm talking like, oh, man, I'm about to give up a big secret here. Everybody get out your pad and pen. Okay. Bondi baits and even tubes fall too fast for me. Okay. So just think about this. When we're fishing gliders and we're fishing bulldogs and we're fishing these different things, we're worried about hang time, right? Agreed, Tyler?
Mm-hmm.
Agree?
Oh, yeah.
Hang time.
Well, these muskies are lethargic.
Right.
Can't eat stuff that's fast.
So I will take, this is no joke here, I will take 7-inch phantoms in the winter. And I will actually put another hook hanger on the top of them and jig them. Slow. You want to talk about hang time. You rip it up and it falls so slow that you're bored. Right?
I like it.
What happens in the way, if like, and I actually rewatched it the other day because I watch this same video every year. It's embarrassing. There's a video John Bondi did of like his basics of jigging and stuff on YouTube. And I've watched it a bunch. You know, obviously he's like King Jigger, if you will, just to watch his technique and go, what's he doing? But one thing that he does that I've noticed is when he's ripping the bait up, he does it quicker and he's lowering the bait slow on the fall, right, to control it.
Mm-hmm.
What I have done with, you know, old wood 7-inch phantoms or other gliders and modifying them to be vertical jigs is it's a really slow thing. So even Bondi has said in his videos that the triggering thing from that is the slow fall. So you have to control the fall. So the longer and slower this thing falls, the better it is. So I think if you can get them to come in, but they won't commit. And what I did with this is I've caught so many fish dead sticking by the boat. And Tyler, you've been on the boat when I've dead stick fish on gliders. That is like, I'm in my element. Bring it on. Right. That is totally. I'm so in my comfort zone. I love dead sticking fish beside the boat on glide baits. I went, wow, why can't you do this jigging? Obviously, it takes a lot longer for that bait to get down, but it doesn't matter. Once you're in the zone where the fish are, you have a lot more hang time. So slower up, slower down. You know, and you're not worried about controlling that drop of the rod so far. That's what I would. And that's my knee jerk reaction there. And giving that fish a lot more time, that bait's moving maybe in a more natural speed, falling slower in their face. The other thing you can do with those red October tubes are wine corks. And so I will take wine corks. I have plenty of wine corks around the house, folks. If you can't believe that, it's no surprise, is it, Tyler? No surprise. No shortage of wine corks. I use those wine corks and heck, put them on the rigging for those tubes. I make my own tube rig. Actually, Tim from the Netherlands make those for me. He's cool. Tyler's seen them. I'll talk about those someday. But, you know, but I change the way I rig those tubes, and I'll use wine corks inside the head of that tube to suspend it out a little bit on the actual tube rig. But I would try 7-inch phantoms, drill you a hole in the top of that bait more towards the head, put you another hook hanger in that bad boy, and you'll probably light one up. Tyler, what's your through the ice? And we're best guessing on this because it's so crazy. What's your thought?
I've caught muskies on a lot of like downsized jigs, mm-hmm. like even crappie jigs. I've caught muskies on crappie jigs, not on purpose. Just like right. I'm jigging for crappies, and if a muskie will come in and hit like a tiny jig, like a pinhead kind of jig, mm-hmm. stuff. But there's these tiny little airplane jigs where Rapala, whatever. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, they got the tiny. Yes, I've caught muskies
like
on those. Yeah,
like, you know the ones that do the spiral. I can never remember the name ever, and I'm gonna catch mm-hmm. a lot of flack for that. I can't remember. I like those baits because, you know, they spiral. But if you like what Steve was saying, if you kind of like leave some tension in the line and like manually kind of let it lower, mm-hmm. it will hang and spiral right in front of their face. You got a little minnow head on it, man.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they'll just gobble that right up. I've caught pike doing that. I've caught muskies doing that through the ice.
Gotta give out a big secret here, too. Tyler, you've seen this, and it's ridiculous, folks. And it depends on how deep you're fishing those things, but we've done it with suspending baits, or to make things suspend, our bobbers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking here, if you put a sucker rig bobber over like a steel shad, so let's say you're trying to jig down at 20 feet, put out 20 feet of line and then put a bobber on it. Now that thing's going to just suspend where you want it. And you can just make it dance and hang. you know, now you get a hookup, you got to get that thing off there so you can get that fish up. But you can do that with a lot of your sinking bait. So it's like there now it's a suspending bait forever.
I would also jig with a rattle trap.
Well, that's what I was thinking about. It's a rattle trap under a bobber. A JB Rattler.
Oh, which, dude, Rattler would look cool.
Yeah, there's a secret thing we've done with that. We're not going to talk about that right now, Tyler. We're saving that for the spring. But we got some tricks up our sleeve regarding that. But as far as a jigging method, put you a big quick strike bobber. You know, let's say you're fishing 19 feet of water. Get that rattle trap down there at 16 feet. 16 feet of line on a line counter, and then put your bobber on that and then jig that and just let that thing jig it and then let it stop and sit there and sort of warble around forever. I would bet you that would work. I don't know. That's a neat thing. Andrew, send me an email. I want to talk to you. We see if we can't get you on the podcast and talk about that crazy, crazy fishery. Tyler, I got time for one more here. Isaac says, do you ever worry about how many sets of treble hooks on your bucktails? I always have a fear from a one treble hook bucktail result in poor hookup ratio, as on the figure eight muskies seem to T-bone baits a lot. Any thoughts on this? I really appreciate you guys taking the time to answer. Isaac, you will never, ever, 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 and Tyler knows this, catch me without two treble hooks on a bucktail.
Ever. He's two treble hooks, Steve.
Yep, period. Done.
Done deal.
If it comes with one, I add a second. Trick with that, I rebuild most of my bucktails anyway just because I don't like many of them. Because, you know, I want them to start easy. I want heavy-duty wire and things of that nature. So usually I'll fish them out of the pack, catch one fish, then modify them. Let's say you got one out of the pack and only has a rear treble, much like a 700 Booker tail or, you know, the Chaos bucktails that was, you know, the Assaults, I believe. They've got a single treble. A lot of them have just a single rear treble. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take two split rings, two number seven split rings. I'm going to put a second hook on one. So I'm going to take two split rings, put them together, put a hook on one of them, and then I take the other end and thread it through the beads about halfway up. And I don't know if I described that well enough, but Tyler, did that make sense? We're putting a split ring on a hook, and we're taking another split ring to attach that to the bucktail up in the bead section somewhere.
Yeah, right above the skirt.
Right above the skirt.
It's real simple. I do it all the time. Steve does it all the time. You just got to do that. Sometimes if you don't want to rebuild your bucktail, just separate the beads and the skirt to expose that wire.
Yeah, and you just can slide split ring it on. Yeah, split ring it on. Now, with that... with that being said, though, is I asked Booker one time. Remember we were in Canada last trip, and I said, why Joe doesn't put a second on his? And I said, why don't you do that? You know, I've always felt good about it. He said, it increases the weight so it runs lower, and it picks up more weeds. So let's say you're fishing a place where muskies are moving hot. They're moving quick, right? That's a good thing. And they're moving shallow. Another good thing. You might need a couple bucktails that aren't set up that way. The reason I use the split rings, I can take that guy off, that second one. Another trick is this. And Tyler, you know this. I've not even talked about it in the podcast. Which is I make some bucktails with, you know, it can be a number 8 blade. It could be a 10 blade. It doesn't matter. I will make them with a single hook in the back. So it is just like a slop master or a spinner bait. So here's a bucktail, inline bucktail with a single hook.
Goes right through the weeds.
Right through the weeds. So if I don't want to fish a slop master, it's not the bright presentation. You know, I'm not worried about hookup ratio on that because you go, you sort of have to make a balance there. So in general, I want a second hook, but there are certain situations where you go, if I do not fish with less hooks, I have no shot. So you have to find a balance there. There's certain situations where you have to go with minimal hooks to make it possible to get those potential strikes, right? So the statistics of it. If I can't fish in the slop, then I'm not going to get any strikes. So I need to go more strike possibility, less hookup ratio.
One thing that I like doing, this is a little trick that I have, is I will actually take, say, the fish are shallow, but they're hitting, like, the bucktail has to be moving real slow.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be moving fast, but it's shallow, so you have to move it fast to get it out of there. One thing I like doing is I will rebuild a bucktail. I will take the lead weight completely out of the bucktail, no lead weight.
Right.
Harder to cast, but you can able to cast at some sort of distance, put a bigger mm-hmm. blade on it with a lot of hair on it. That thing will be pretty buoyant, and you can slow roll that bucktail.
Yeah, you can slow it, roll it through there. So, you know, in general, I'm going to add a second hook, but don't mess yourself up. Make sure you're still fishing the appropriate bait for the right situation. Tyler, we've got our holiday extravaganza next week, my friend. Holiday extravaganza.
Ho, 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 ho.
Ho, ho, ho. Folks, we'll get that lined up anyway. We will have a heck of a contest next week for some really cool Christmas prizes. Thanks for listening. Catch you later. Ho, ho, ho. Musky Santa's here. Buy me musky baits, or I'll burn down your house. Buy me a shield rod, or I'll cut off your toes. Presents from the muskie shop, or I'll punch you in the nose. Ooh.